risen, and all seems things are usual, as before the light of the world changed the world. But wait, things are different. Can you see it, feel it, and believe it? Peace be with you.
In the name of the Holy Spirit, we receive.
Jesus has risen, and the Christ is with us. The Christ invites you to engage in this new relationship with the Holy. Do not be afraid to live deeply in this new life of justice-seeking and relationship-building with the everyday and the holy. Sometimes the path seems difficult, and so we doubt. We doubt God loves us. We doubt God heal us, hurting world. When you doubt, dig deeper. Jesus said to Thomas, who doubted, "Put your finger in here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Engage with me, and you will see I am here, there, and everywhere. God is with us. God is with us." Our centering prayer. The wounded Jesus of years past is the compassion within each of us today. For generations, we, your people, have heard and learned the story of the risen Christ. Now we, your people, need to ask you, O God, to remind us that we are called to live out that message of love as an Easter people. Quiet our minds so that we may feel your presence and once again be able to share your good news with others. May we truly comprehend what you have to say to us today, and may we live into it tomorrow, the next day, and the next. With joy and hope, we pray. Amen.
This is our time now of joys and concerns. So glad you are with us, community out there near and far. I know some of you couldn't be with us today, so you're down the street. You're from the Netherlands. You're from Sweden, Florida, Texas, Illinois, Cleveland, Ohio, where the Most Holy is happening today, and places near and far. So I'll ask you now to lift up a joy or concern, and then we will pray your prayers together, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer in the language or the vernacular we learned so that a cacophony of voices can be raised to God. So I invite you now to lift a joy or concern. Chuck!
Good morning, all. Just a joy. I have some teammates from the Makapo Outrigger Paddling Team. They probably left Catalina this morning about 8:30, and they're taking a six-man canoe and paddling from Catalina to Newport Beach. So they should get to Newport Beach around 1 or 1:30. So just joy to them.
Yeah. Wow. Glad you're with us. Other joys or concerns to lift up this morning? Right here.
It's more of a concern. Sending positive vibes to my daughter's great-grandmother. She fell down the stairs and broke her shoulder. And then her great-grandpa is recovering from hip surgery, but it's not going as well. Mm-hmm. As we have discovered, stairs can be the enemy over time. So,
okay, yes.
So hopefully, wish them a speedy recovery. They'll be heading to summer's on spring break next week, so she'll be heading up there.
Oh.
And the wife as well, and they'll be taken care of.
Okay. Definitely prayers.
Flo on Facebook is asking for healing wishes for Katrina Foley, our former mayor, who underwent a nasty cancer surgery on her face several days ago, and it hit her hard. She will have another similar procedure next week, so we'll pray for Katrina. Gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and our current council, or county supervisor, yeah.
Yes. Just prayers for those in Gaza affected by the war, children dying and famine, and everyone who lost their loved one.
There's a chance, hopefully, they're going to meet tomorrow. Let us then pray together as a community. Let us breathe in the breath of God and take this moment to receive. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this place and this space at which to pray openly, to sing together, to stand in the name of justice and love. We come before you as a community, near and far, with many joys and many concerns. We pray for those, we have a few of our members who are out chasing the eclipse, and we pray for them as they get to have, hopefully, a heavenly-like experience tomorrow, and then they will soon return to us. We pray for those who cannot be with us because of spiritual, physical, and mental inabilities. We still especially pray for Robert and for Jay, who both have been encumbered with hurts, and Robert took a fall, so we pray for healing so that they can be back among us. We pray and celebrate paddleboarding and the idea that anyone can get up in the morning, start out here, and end up in Newport Beach just paddling their way there. We pray for these athletes, and we know that they are experiencing the divine in the wind, in the waves, in the water, as they are feeling, touching, and experiencing the wonder of our universe. We pray for Corey's grandparents, Summer's great-grandparents, as Grandpa has taken a fall and Grandmother has taken a fall. We pray for healing. We know those are vulnerable times, a broken hip, broken shoulder. We pray for all the medical people around them and Corey's family. May they surround them and take care of them, and also bring Summer into the healing moments with them. We pray on this holy day, for we Christians believe that every Sunday is an Easter Sunday. We pray for our siblings in Gaza. We pray for world leaders that they put aside their right and wrongness and remember it is humanness, and that babies are babies, children are children, parents are parents, and all need a chance to live and thrive. We pray there can be peace. We pray for also negotiations in Ukraine. We pray for all of our parts of the world that are hurting, and that we are reminded that we have Christian brothers, sisters, and siblings around the world. We have brothers and sisters and siblings of all faiths who are part of our human family, and we all are interconnected and connected. And may the healing begin. Let us now pray the prayer that Jesus taught all of us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. What a powerful passage we have today. Passage of doubt and a passage where we actually don't know what Thomas did. We know that he said he was going to have to touch Jesus. The scripture never says whether he actually did touch him. He saw him and believed. So it's very interesting. Very powerful words. Starting with verse 19. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in the wounds left by the nails and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, look at my hands, and put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs and in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. Amen.
You know, in Israel-Palestine, one thing about being in Israel-Palestine or being in Jerusalem, everybody knows who everybody is by what they wear. And it's always been a great faith journey when I've gone there to experience that. Now, what do I mean? Well, you know who the Armenian priests are and brothers because they're wearing their long black gowns, and they have their big, tall hats, and they have their long beards, and they're usually men, and they are there, and they, because they have one part of the church where we believe Jesus was born. That's another thing. Everyone has their parts of the Holy Land. So the Armenians have a section, and then the Catholics have a section, and then again, we know who the priests are by their collars, and the nuns, we know who they are by their nunnery, right? Like, we can tell by what they're wearing. Then we can tell when we're in Jerusalem who the Muslims are because they have a certain way of dress. And then, of course, women who choose to wear the hijab, wear the hijab. We then know who the, what we would call Hasidic Jews here in this country, they call them religious there. The religious Jewish folks who will have a certain way of dress, and then women will either have a wig or have their hair colored. Then you can tell the American tourists, right? Because we're wearing our tennis shoes. We're going like this, ooh, ah. But you can tell who people are by the way they dress. And so that always reminds me we need to also act a certain way. Amen? Because usually, unfortunately, people know who the Americans are for usually their behavior, but I digress. But it made me think, Do people know who we are here, being part of Fairview Community Church? Let me put that and leave it over here. Jesus enters the house on the same day. This is Easter night. So we've had this moment early in the morning last week, right? The women get up. It's quiet. It's dark. And they discover Jesus. And what did the male disciples do? Ran back to the house. Ran back to the house. What did the women do? And what did they say? Jesus has risen, right? So that's what just happened. Now it's the evening and it's the night and they're at the house. Okay? And now Jesus has arrived. And how we know it's Jesus and how we know he is safe and is part of the movement is by the greeting he gives. Peace. That's another thing that you can tell who is who in Israel-Palestine. Jewish folks to this day say shalom when they greet you. Muslim folks to this day say salam when they greet you. Both means peace. In this movement, in this Jesus movement, remember, they were occupied by Rome, and there were spies everywhere, and Judas wanted Jesus to be of that rebellion that was violent and to kind of be insurrectionist that way. Jesus refused. He refused to be part of that movement. And so if you were going to be part of that Jesus movement, the code was peace. So he means it, and he means it spiritually, like I hope to bring you peace, but it's also life-giving and knowing this is somebody that's in the movement with you, in the non-violent resistance. So in this moment, it's an act of social justice as he enters in this house. Well, remember, they're still fearing the Jewish authorities. And he says, peace. Now, Thomas was not present during all the stuff. And you can just imagine, now that we put that in our heads, that these folks are still kind of scared. Can you imagine the conversations they're having? One commentator said maybe they were scared that Jesus was going to come back and give them heck, right? And say, where were you at my crucifixion? I noticed you weren't there. So there might be that, but I don't think so. I think Jesus is coming saying, peace. What does peace mean besides how I've just mentioned it? It also means tranquility, right? It also means calm. So they are nervous and calm. So first he's coming in and saying, I am the one from the movement. And then the other is, let's have calm. So they're discussing, and another joke, which I think any of us can say, you know, whenever two or more are gathered, you have six opinions, right? So you know, they're like gathered, and they're talking, well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you? And Jesus is like, I'm here. And Thomas is like, well, now, wait a minute. I don't believe you unless. And what I love about this, does Jesus say, oh, you a little faith? No, he invites him to engage. Engage with me. Come on, I can take it. Touch me. Here. I love this. Because you see, we have about 40 years of Christianity to undo. Somehow, somewhere, about 40 years ago, a movement of Christianity became, if you question, you're lacking in faith. But here we have the second Sunday of Easter. This is one of the only texts that's actually in the lectionary every year. It's that important. Let me say that again. This is one of the only texts that is every year in the lectionary. It is so important. If you are going to have a living faith, it is okay to question. Amen? Let me say that again. If you're going to have a living faith, it's okay to question. Thomas is not told you are less than. Thomas is not told you are weak and feeble. Instead, he says, oh, come on, engage. Ask me another question. Let's do this. Feel me. We can do this. And he does. And then they engage again 8 days later. He's like, Jesus, I'm just not sure. And then Jesus is like, I'm here. Believe. Also another part, Jesus, this story is all about connection, all about intimacy, and all not to be afraid, because it's also, and this happened last week when Jesus called Mary by name, Jesus calls Thomas by name. I'm not afraid to love you, children. I am not afraid to call you by name, especially in a time where you're hiding and you are worried that if anyone knows your name, you're going to be killed. But Jesus says, peace I bring you, and I call you by name. Remember that question I asked? I wonder if anyone knows who we are at Fairview Community Church and what kind of church we are. Yesterday we did. We had an amazing holy social justice task force meeting. I'm going to say all of that in the same sentence. Holy meeting. Yes. Yes. Because we got on fire about all the things we do, we've been doing, and we would like to do again. Now, the beauty is when I'm out in the community and I say where I'm from, they're like, oh, yes. And they say, we've been waiting to meet you because they've heard that we are a church that cares about social justice and that we aren't a church that's going to tell you how to believe. We are the church that companions with. And so when I'm at the iftar dinner, and now that this is my second year of that, of being together in community with folks, they're like, Monica, and they reach out and they hug me and grab me. And I'm receiving that when I'm standing next to someone that's been in the community for 6 years. But they know me and they know who I represent because I've taken the time to engage. So not only did I meet them last year, but I've been engaging in the community, in the interfaith community for the last year. Not only did I engage and meet our police officers and those who serve us, I've been on the Interfaith Advisory Task Force for the Sheriff's Department. And so when people from the Sheriff's Department come, they say, hey, Monica. I know you can do me proud. People in uniform liking me. Amen. I know. I know. I love it. I just need to get saluted. I'm still working on that. But anyway. People know who we are by how we act and how we be. And I take it very seriously when I'm wearing my collar. I try only to swear about righteous things at that time. Or when I'm wearing something that is from Palestine, so people know. People will not be afraid to engage if we engage with them. And we say at the front, peace. I am safe. Peace, you are beloved. Peace, we will walk with you and companion with you in this injustice movement. Peace, if you call on me to advocate for affordable housing for all in Costa Mesa, I will be there because that is what we believe as Christians. Peace, I will be side by side if someone is bullying you at your high school because that's who we are called to be as Christians. Peace. Fill in the blank. The beautiful thing about who we are as an Easter people in Orange County is people already know what we do. They already know we look a little different. I may just send you out with some bling in the future so you can wear it too. We have nothing to be ashamed of, even when we are doubting, even when we are questioning. Because that just invites us to engage more and to engage more deeply. So I love this text, and I love that we get to find ways to look at it, to preach it, to engage with it, to become intimate with it, and to not be afraid of it, and to allow ourselves to live into it. So when you go forth from here, you know, go ahead and walk with a little jump in your walk and go, yeah, I'm from Fairview. And we love it so much, we want you to be part of us as well. because we are an Easter people. Amen? Amen. Amen.